Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 127, in the middle of December 2017.
He's back.
I am Joe, and that is
He's
JJ.
Back.
Hi, Jay.
Oh, look at that. You made it.
I am back. Refreshed.
You didn't drown.
Over the carnival
good.
Crud.
You guys had a good time.
Did not drown. Did bring back a little
no.
bit of an illness. Like that's been my whole thing.
Good
October,
thing
November,
you're not
December.
In
it's
the
like
room.
One illness
that
after
would
another.
Be that would be bad. No. Oh, hey, Patrick, I finally have a mic for you.
Oh, how awesome!
Ooh, you sound cleaner than usual. Yeah. But I don't hear the ice machine or the refrigerator or the people next
refrigerator's
door.
Across the room. There's no one. Let's see. Oh, I probably shouldn't have done that.
I was going to say you're next to. Now you've caused a problem.
Causing trouble. No, it's okay.
So if I sniffle every now and then, it's just carnival crud. Yeah, I'm just getting over all that. In fact, I may sneeze in the middle of all this. Patrick will do me a favor here. I think
maybe he's going to edit it out like a swear word.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel better.
No, I don't think I'll edit that out.
No, okay.
I'll just keep that.
No, it kind of just
glad,
fits.
Glad you got my back there, buddy.
We usually just kind of roll with things. Hey, if you missed last week's show, by the way, it was kind of fun hanging out with Shelly. By kind of fun, I mean it really was really quite fun hanging out with Shelly.
Thanks to the great Shelly podcastress master that she is.
Yeah, it was a really cool time. So go back to 126. We'll listen to this one first, then go back to that one. She was here because. Joe was, you were doing some stuff. It was a cruise?
Yeah, I went to Cozumel. That was fun. Roatan. Lots of buffets, you know, because it's a cruise ship. So, yeah, that was fun. I had a good time.
We were speculating
really
on
nice.
That, what you were eating.
There was escargot at one point. That was in the grand dining area. There was frog's legs. Ricky had never had frog legs before, and now she has, and now she doesn't need to ever again, she told me. I have. I've had it before. Mm-hmm. Had one of the toughest steaks that I have ever seen. Ricky couldn't finish her steak, and I think I needed a chainsaw in order to cut it apart. But, I mean, that kind of stuff happens on the cruise. But there was some really good, you know, seafood. I did a lot of seafood. It was so much good. Had some of the best sushi. I couldn't believe it. And as sad as I hate to admit this, the Guy Fieri Burger Bar was actually pretty good. Of course, it has a video Ooh. Of him, like, running constantly, which gets really... tiresome really quickly, but hand-cut fries like Five Guys fries. It was really cool.
Ricky got something else too, I guess, on the cruise though.
Oh, I got her this awesome hoodie that says Carnival on it, so it's gray and teal.
Yeah, right.
It's really nice.
I'm sure that's what I was referring to.
Gotcha. I know it. I absolutely. No. You might have had a picture described. Or
was
something.
There anything else that came with the hoodie or after the hoodie or?
No, I think it was pretty uneventful. It was a nice, quiet time. And,
the sleeves, did the sleeves cover up anything?
You can see her hands. You can totally see her hands.
Yeah. And what's on the hands or a finger, perhaps?
Oh, she got her nails done. Yeah, we did the spa. Oh, that was so good. Oh, man.
That's good.
Manicure.
So I'm glad she... Glad she got her nails done because there might be a thing coming up at some point.
There may be a new accessory that she has on one particular hand or finger, possibly.
That is what I'm hearing. Yeah. Okay. You're drawing this out. Like,
I was. Yeah. I had a great vacation and I got engaged. Anyway, moving on. No, really. It was a spur of the moment thing. It kind of sort of happened. And it was a moment where she had walked into a particular jewelry store in Roatan. And I heard the words, this is the one. And I went, uh-oh. She had found the ring that she really liked. And so we chose that. And I told her she couldn't have it until I gave it to her officially. And I knew that wouldn't last long. So, yeah, tell a lady she can't have jewelry that you purchased for her. Yeah, that's a difficult thing. So I had spoken to Schwartz, the cruise director. I thought Schwartz was perfect. That was a good thing. I thought that was a name that I could live with, being that we were Mel Brooks fans around here at Blind Bargains. And he and I arranged something to happen during dinner, which was really cool. And ironically, the people who are in the back of the photos are from Kalamazoo. I kid you not.
Hey! Wow. I wonder if I know them. It's a small enough town.
Yeah. Gary and Kirsten. And we had a conversation about the Alamo Draft House and some of the places that are near the
said closed.
Near the Blind Bargains offices. And he thought it was really funny and small world because I told him a lot more about Kalamazoo than I think he thought I knew. And so
well,
I thought you would find that hysterical
yes,
and somewhat tisbit.
They're very cool, but congratulations to both Joe and Ricky. And
there's no date, no time set aside. It happened kind of spontaneously. It sort of happened, and the other part we'll be more meticulous about. But
you actually just seemed like the right thing. All that, gotcha.
Yeah, and we had friends and family, and it was a lot of fun in a cove balcony. If you have any thoughts about cruises, or if you yourself have been on a cruise lately, let us know about the experience. I want to do a show about cruising and what we experienced on the cruise, like
sweet
the fact that we had asked for Braille and
week off for me.
Braille happened. And so if you have some thoughts about that, send them on into feedback@blindbargains.com, because I wanted to talk to you about cruising, because it is a lot of fun. Ricky wants to go back, which made me the happiest.
That's
ever.
Good.
When we were coming back from Roatan, we hit that front that came down and dumped snow on Galveston and other places. And, you know, that's one of those where people were talking on the ship, hey, it snowed in Houston. Yeah, right. Whatever. No, it really did while we were gone. So we had the front coming back, and it rocked that ship back and forth like it was a cradle. I slept, and Ricky made it through without wanting to kill me for dragging her on a cruise. So if she could survive that, I figured she could survive any cruises. So we want to do that again, and I'm looking forward to it. But you and Shelly had lots of fun from what I was listening to last week.
Yes, we had lots of fun. You buy some speakers.
She was here to talk about iOS updates, because, you know, there was the 11.2, and then there was the TVOS update and the watch update. And I was like, wow, that was perfect timing.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we might have even missed the TVOS one. Oh, Charlie, I have to bring her back on the show. But that was lots of fun. And,
perfect timing. I don't have to talk about speakers. iOS now.
Oh, that's good. Uh-huh. Speaking of those speakers, by the way, those Sonoses that we talked about, Sonoses, you know, you may want to ship one of those to your friends. I like this idea. I'm talking a little bit about the holidays and shipping. And I think where you were going with this, right, is doing this accessibly and tips for this.
On phones, on tablets, on the web. And
I think we have some different ideas. This will be good. Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit about how to get gifts to your holidays, to your friends accessibly. And of course, there's always things like Amazon Prime as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. And one more thing. Oh, no, the last word is back this week.
Yay! So. And I have two. I have a quick one and then another one in order to make up for the disappearance.
I have a Texas story.
Oh, no, that's even scarier.
Yes.
I actually had several to choose from. Maybe I've got a plethora for next week, because nothing really happened while I was gone. It was kind of quiet from what
No, we should get into the news, because we've like killed like 10 minutes already.
7 minutes, 48 seconds.
I mean, we had a lot of catch up on, and it's going to be a slow show. It's the same way that I was happy that Shelly was here for iOS updates, because apparently there's another one right as we're about to walk in.
There is another one, but there's no accessibility. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a minor bug fix. No voiceover stuff. Yep. So there you go. That's all we're going to say.
Oh, man. Good.
But there was an app update that we definitely should talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And TVOS 11 still sucks. Just saying. It still sucks. The big news of the week, and I do mean it is huge, is Seeing AI has reached version 2.0, bringing along such things as, ready for this, currency recognition, color recognition, light detection, and now is expanded to more than 35 different regions that can now use the app. So nobody has to bug us on Twitter about it's not in my area yet. No,
I'm sure
it is
somebody.
Available for most places that can get an iPhone.
You missed the other one, though.
For iOS.
There's four new modes. Handwriting.
Oh, yes. Patrick says that it works extremely well. I did say to him that he has to test it on Dr. Handwriting. That will be the true test of handwriting mode, is if it can read a doctor's prescription.
Swipe up or down with one finger to adjust the value.
Imagine, can you hear that?
Take picture button.
Let's see. I wrote something. I wrote something a second ago.
Take picture. Channel. Handwriting preview. Adjustable. Processing. No text recognized.
It worked before. Save photo. It worked before when I did it. Hey, demos.
Quick help.
One more time.
Take picture. Button. Take picture. Channel. Processing. No text recognized.
Trust him. It does work.
Button. It works.
And it needs to be the right way up. By that,
do the demo. I had it. Button. Channel. Light. Now, here's cool.
If you have it upside down, it won't recognize it. It tells you that in the little box that you have to click out of. Oh, there's a light. So there's light near you. beautiful
song. It's very musical. Actually, like, it's all musical. The other lie detectors I've seen, like,
it reminds me of rising Anna's tones. Demo for, remember, Anna, for The Voice.
Mm-hmm. They actually use like a major scale to be all musical on this thing. This is interesting, fascinating. All right, I'm not going to leave that out for the whole show. That would get really
No. But it does remind me of Anna reading books from a bookshelf.
That's cool though. And because I think there was the old lie detector app, and I'm not sure if that was even still getting updated anymore. Currency is U.S. and Canada at the moment. Hopefully they'll expand that and to
Britain.
Some of the other.
It'll recognize British pound and euro.
Oh, okay. I apparently missed that little part there. But it's just like the other and modes that were there.
Locally, and it is quick.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, is it quick.
Wow. Somebody actually sends me some money, I'll happily do a demo. Just like I said last week of the Virgin Atlantic thing. If someone buys me a plane ticket, I'll do a demo of that.
I tried 5-10s and 1s, and it was super, super
no
fast.
No free plane tickets yet.
I saw
Liam
that.
Liam took a selfie, because now you can take selfies with the person mode.
From the front camera, not just the back camera.
From the front camera.
So
yep.
I didn't play with that. I guess it illuminates your face like the iPhone.
How old does it think you are?
It
does you
a white
not
flash
check?
In front of your face on the screen.
Does it think you're 60?
I don't know. I don't remember, because I think I played with it briefly and then moved on. Some of that stuff is not in the 3D touch menu, which I thought was interesting. But you have to go into the app after you've updated it, and then you can flick through the picker, and it tells you preview, and it's really cool because they had some legal department.
Apparently, you can add stuff to the 3D touch menu in the settings now.
Oh, cool. So you can actually choose what goes in there.
Yes.
The legal stuff was really cool because the currency was, you still may want to have someone look at the money as well
to make sure
as it will not tell you whether it's counterfeit or not, which I thought was awesome. That was a great line.
You know how I learned these things, though? Because they actually update their change logs, and which is good. Not everybody does that. Anyway.
True. And it will actually give you a what's new when you open it for the first time. So if you have your app set to automatically update, you will know when you launch it for the first time, which is also kind of cool because a lot of people use automatic updates. We do not, and I do not stand by automatic updates. The color identifier, you may wish to play around with that, because if you bring it in too close and your flashlight on your phone comes on, and it usually does if you're in a darkened area automatically, you can turn that off if you want to read backlit screens. I highly recommend that if you're going to try and read a screen from a television or say it's a microwave, you want to turn your flashlight off, and you can do that in settings. But when you're looking at color identification, if you have the object too close to the camera, it'll say white because it's actually picking up the reflection from the camera flashlight. So about half an arm's length away, I found that it detects colors a lot better because it gets it in its full field of view. There we go. And that makes life a lot easier. Free update available in many, many countries. Seeing Eye 2.0 is a game changer. You will be absolutely surprised. And if you don't have an iPhone and you're an Android user, pick up a cheap iPad, pick up a cheap iPod. It is worth it.
It is good. You won't have flash.
As someone who's used Android for more than 7 years, I rarely say this, but this is a thing to have if you didn't already have
it. Yeah, it is one
iOS
of the coolest
device.
Things. And hopefully they'll bring it over to Android at some point. But right now, I mean, they're definitely...
They say they will.
I mean, you can tell why this is, you know, the second or third major update, and this one being the biggest, that they're definitely investing time and energy into this, and they're not just leaving it alone. So that's always a good sign. It's not just a gimmick app, and it's come a long way. So has NVDA. We had mentioned before the release candidate for 2017.4, which is now out. Lots of web stuff. Hey, I want to do a Firefox update just because some people have been asking about this. The latest beta of Firefox 58 with the latest nightly versions of NVDA. So this is for your people that are on the edge. That combination is certainly getting a lot better. So if you don't have to go to this, you can still stick with I'm still on the extended support release thing at the moment, which is kind of Firefox 52, but the progress is being made is essentially is the goal. And if you want to be bleeding edge, you can play with that stuff. But if you don't, that's fine. You can get NVDA 2017.4 and send them a Christmas donation while you're at it, because especially if you're using it every day.
Fix that
like
Outlook bug. Oh, man. How many times a day I'd heard nasty words used with Outlook or JAWS and or NVDA, because there were some really unfun things happening with Outlook and lists and switching account in Outlook 2016. This fix does take care of that, as well as some fixes that also happened in not just one, but two releases of Jaws 2018. In that one happened right around December 6th while I was gone. And then another happened today, being record day, on December 13th.
13th.
And so a couple of quick updates for Jaws. Again, free update if you are on the latest version of Jaws.
Yep. Lots of random bug fixes. Research updates in the French version of Jaws. Someone can translate that to French. And
French or Canadian French? Because I know there is a difference. It's just like Spanish.
French.
Okay.
Resolves an issue with the Skype call quality feedback. I wish, couldn't they just get rid of the stupid Skype call quality feedback?
Can we just get rid of Skype?
That's my issue with it.
Update to Teams. Yay! Patrick's thrilled.
But apparently that was locking things up, which that would be annoying because that stupid box comes up a lot. But yes. Free updates. And of course, you know, if you have Jaws 2018 now, these updates will come for the next year, which is always good that they do these for a while. And you can kind of keep getting every month or two.
Also happened to Zoom Text. And don't turn off people who go, oh, it's Zoom Text. It's low vision. I don't have to pay attention. No, you do. Zoom Text and Fusion. Remember that Fusion is Jaws sitting on top of Zoom Text or vice versa. Depends how you want to look at it.
Zoom Text?
Which one you use more. That's true.
Zoom Text.
So Zoom Text sitting on top of Jaws or Jaws sitting on top of Zoom Text. It depends if you're a keyboard or a mouse user, right? I guess that would probably answer that question.
Yes.
Huge changes that have come to fix things in Firefox 57. I disagree. I'm using Firefox 57 at the moment with Zoom Text 11.7. And I'm not impressed. So there are some things I'll have to do to fix and back out some of these changes. But there are other changes in that some window boxes now are working much better as far as that is concerned with tracking and certain elements. The ability to read things faster on various web browsers. I noticed the language there was very specific. Haha, web browsers. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Also, which I thought was super interesting for Fusion users, no more double speaking of some boxes in Office and Word 2016. So Zoom Text and Jaws, I assume, were speaking in some dialogue boxes. That's a fix that also happened in this version of Zoom Text 11.7. Both Zoom Text Magnifier and, of course, the Magnifier Reader. And then, of course, Fusion, which is Zoom Text and Jaws. For those who tune out when I say the words Zoom and Text, yes, they do actually matter here because Jaws thing happens.
Remember a few weeks ago when we talked about the Google, was that the kerfuffle episode or is that the
was kerfuffle in which we talked about how awesome it was going to be in that we'd finally crossed a line. Google was listening to us. They were going to crack down on accessibility. They're going to pull it out and say, hey, now you can't be on the App Store if you aren't accessible. If you can't make a case for why you are, then doggone it, you just don't need that kind of access. And it was going to impact some major things like LastPass and some other services. So that's going to happen, right?
Apparently not, because the outcry, I mean, these were some of the most popular apps, not just our apps, but lots of accessibility apps. We talked about this in 1, 2, 3. It looks like they're going to at least rethink this. I think, you know, sometimes services, a lot of times, services get created for accessibility. And people find other uses for them. Obviously, that's been true with things like OCR and speech recognition and text-to-speech and all sorts of other stuff. And people realize there are other uses. And maybe I think that's what's happening here with accessibility, is that people are realizing that, hey, there are other uses for this as well. And Google is saying, all right, let's take a look at this. There is a security line to look at, because you don't want just some program posing as a password manager, which happens to be a keylogger. So I think there's a line here, but I think it is important. I mean, why not? And that's part of the openness of Android, right? Is to kind of have some of these possibilities that you wouldn't have on other operating systems. I'm glad Google is kind of taking another look at this.
But there are some in our community who would feel differently, who say, oh, this is them capitulating to app developers and they aren't serious about accessibility and accessibility doesn't matter because they're willing to back off.
They are serious about accessibility. It has nothing to do with. This has nothing to do with their commitment to accessibility. This has everything to do with what else people are doing with the services that were being provided. They're not taking anything away from TalkBack or from BrailleBack when they should put things to BrailleBack, but they're not taking anything away from those.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's always a step forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, this will sideline us into something else in a second. I'm going to come back to that thought for one moment, but I agree with you in that some people in our community who don't follow Android as much as we do might see this as Google wavering. That's not the case. They're going to put this on pause. They're going to reassess. They're going to listen to people's concerns for 30 days, and then they're going to come back with a different idea. I think the idea, of course, is to have all this in mind by the time they get to Google I/O, whenever that is in 2018. But if you look at this next story, which is Chrome apps are dead, it's Google trying to get their house in order, which is what we said on 123, is that Google's seriously looking at the ecosystem. They're going to pull somewhat of an Apple, it looks like, or at least it appears to be, in that they're going to kind of do things a little differently, like they've already started with Oreo. And they said that at convention. If you went to any of the Google presentations at CSUN or summer conventions, Google was very quick to say that major changes and foundational changes were happening in 8.1 Oreo and moving forward. So for Google, it doesn't happen overnight. And especially now that they can extend the support out for 3 years, that means that people can be on older versions of Android longer and still get security updates and the like. The Google ecosystem is different than that of iOS in that respect, in that they're providing support to a bunch more devices and a bunch more operating systems than iOS, who has a tendency to vote people off the island whether they want to or not. But I see this as more of, again, a restating of the commitment, not that they are capitulating to LastPass or other organizations, and that they want to make sure that they make everybody happy. I don't know that that's possible, but I like that they're going to do that. Now, in the same vein, let me circle back.
Okay.
There was an Amazon update recently, and a bunch of people on my feed and social media and elsewhere were talking about how awesome this new Amazon update was because it adopted voiceover-like gestures. And there were people who were saying, oh, good, Amazon has listened. You know, they're not doing what Google did, or they're not doing an overlay, or they're forking Android. They adopted iOS-like gestures, which I think is kind of sad in a way, because I like that platforms are specific to themselves. I don't think that you should have to adopt something because people are not able to be elastic and move on to a performance issue or UI issue.
Yes.
If I'm using an iOS device, and like I said just recently, when I held the iPhone X, I didn't think iOS. I thought Android, because it's designed like an Android phone. It is practically an iPhone that looks like an Android phone. So I'm not necessarily thrilled. And of course, this gets into the thing we've talked about a dozen times about down arrow versus table commands. But moreover, down arrow should not be the default for every operating system. There are some people that think that this is good because then I could just teach one way.
That's yeah, and not even good some because, trainers think that would be easier.
And that's a problem because behavioral-wise, you're going to think, well, why didn't it do that? Oh, yeah, I'm using Amazon, not iOS. And then that gets really confusing really fast as to, can they maintain that philosophy? Can they? And if they do decide to do an Apple Mail and make a change, then users revolt all over again because then it's not what I learned, it's not what I know, and it's not Apple. Well, no, it's not Apple, it's Amazon.
Yeah, this discussion came up. I don't know if we talked about a convention show, the NFP resolution that got voted down about, which was exactly that, pretty much saying that there, you know, people that are creating newer devices should adopt standards that have already been created, such as the swipe gestures for iOS. And there was a big discussion about that and did get voted down for those exact reasons. You had a couple of trainers that were big in support of it, and you had others that spoke against it and did get voted down because, it's too limiting.
It kills innovation. It's too limiting. It doesn't allow somebody to use the advantages of the platform, right?
It's
trying to shove a size 12 foot into a size 10 shoe.
And everything is different. You need to kind of let the market in. Yeah, it's up to us to let the market or let a company know if we feel their approach is just totally missing the mark. But, you know, let them try. And then, of course, if they want guidance, we'll give them guidance. But let them try to figure out the next big way of doing something. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with the methods from 1995.
As confusing as it was for me to learn VoiceOver on the Mac and understand, you know, DOM mode versus shadow mode versus all the other modes that VoiceOver does on Safari and the like, I was fine with that until they tried to then shoehorn JAWS-like functionality into it because the platform was gaining steam and people were like, but it's not like JAWS. No, and it shouldn't be. If you want JAWS, boot camp into Windows. I think that's a danger. I always have felt like it's a danger. And it puts the vision for things in a very awkward place. Now, sometimes it has worked the other way. you and I both could talk about the original TalkBack and the Eyes Free shell and the like. So sometimes it has happened for good reasons, but that was Google making that decision, not one manufacturer trying to ape the other one in order to pretty much make users... I totally forgot about that thing.
Yeah, well,
it's been so long that that was the idea, remember? Have someone show you on the phone how to do this, and then you can do this. Yeah, no, that's not independently using the phone. But I think it's weird because I saw a bunch of people in my feed just saying, this was the right move. No, I don't know that it was. And if something were to change, say iPhone X, and the paradigm changes again, then you're stuck on the old user interface. And if you've spent a bunch of development time, then you're stuck. And if you want to do something that's more innovative or specific to your platform, like X-ray, which is the way to be able to find out more information about a video or a product, that can be very damaging to the platform because people, A, may never use it, like 3D Touch. They never knew they could do that, or, you know, they didn't know it was an option. Or B, it feels crammed in there because it isn't a part of that operating system. It wasn't part of iOS, so why is it even here? So just a little bit of a side thing that came up in relation to all these changes that are going on in various operating systems, and I thought it worth a mention. And it's kind of slow in the news week beyond a couple of these things. What isn't slow is there was a story that was posted while I was gone. Hey, who is this posting a review up at Blind Bargains? Tell me.
Hey, yeah, so we have a new contributor up. This is Tangela Mahaffey. I had to ask her head how make sure we're pronouncing her name right. But this is a thing that I had never heard of, but it is a tool called MindNote 5, and it's especially for writers to do a thing called mind mapping, which is a very visual type thing that you might do as a writer to illustrate concepts, link them to each other, show correlations, things like that. But it turns out they've made it quite accessible. So you might think, oh, it's very visual, I can't do this. Or if your teacher is assigning you to do a mind map, well, you totally can do it using this. So this is the first of hopefully many reviews of different apps and things that she's going to be doing up on the site. Always cool to have some new stuff up there, and got a lot of cool feedback from that. So if you haven't seen that article yet, you haven't read about it, go check it out. It's a freemium app, so there's a free version or a $14.99. Again, it's called MindNote 5. And you can get it, of course, this website, blindbargains.com. You might have heard of it. You can go over there, and it's right up there, and you can read up on that and see some other things. And let her know what other things that you might want her to write about. You can always post comments there, like in any other article on our website. Hey, by the way, You know it's close to Christmas, and we're going to segue into shipping.
When is the very last ship date?
Well, okay, so we're segueing into the shipping stuff. Anyway, we're going to talk about that a lot in a minute. If it happens to be stuff from AT guys, most things you can order up until about the 20th of December. If you do it by the 17th, that's just really, or the 16th, I'd say, that just guarantees it. I mean, it's a lot safer, you know, especially depending on the items you order. And you can always reach out to us, and we'll let you know exact details and what you want to get. And if you want it there by Christmas, let us know. There's always the AT guys gift certificate, eh? You can buy anything from a $1. Which would be kind of cheap, or maybe $1,000 or other amounts in between. So just choose an amount
that
you'd
like. Or something digital, like from L-Works.
Yes, you could. That's true. You could get a copy of Super Egg Hunt. You missed the sale, but it's still only $15, and you can. Some people bought those on Christmas Day in the past, so that's always good. The NVDA voices are a great Christmas gift. More people using NVDA, or maybe if you're using Narrator, you can get the Sappy voices, Vocalizer, or Eloquence. Those are good last minute gifts. You know, or just do the thing like I've done once or twice. Yeah, it's in the mail. It's coming.
Here's the shipping information. It's coming. Right, actually, I thought of you.
Right. It's coming soon. But hey, you know, the best way to do keep up on all the deals, go to atguys.com, click on specials, or you can tweet us or follow us on Twitter at atguys. If you have any questions, we're happy to help you out. You could talk to myself or to Mike, and we'd be happy to answer any questions and get your stuff for Christmas. We still have pretty much everything in stock, and happy to help you out. We've matched the $9.95 on the Smart Beetle, which is a Hims Tastic special. Of course, we sell the Smart Beetle, so we have that as a special through the end of the year, and some other stuff as well. So lots of stuff for pretty much every budget over at atguys.com.
You know there's a little device that happens to have the voice of my fiance on it, so
Yeah.
That one's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. Ready.
Yeah.
Artery high. Oh, that does not. That's yes, the micro speaks was really cool. Only $54.95. And I go back to the Black Friday show. That not all the specials are still live, but the products.
Get do hear still. What it sounds like. Get an idea what the devices are. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's always a good touchstone.
In fact, yeah, the whole manual that is recorded by Ricky is up on the AT Guys website. You can download the manual. You know, all 14 minutes of it, or you can either just bask in the glory of it, or use it as your bedtime track.
Nah.
I'm not saying she's boring. I'm just saying, you know, you're
being a listener. No. But it's weird to hear that voice. It's weird to hear that voice in like, professional mode and then hear it order a pizza. It's totally different. It's way, way
that
different.
That part at the very end of the manual where it's like, you know, model number, blah, 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 you know, 4GB, UA, what? That part probably like, okay. Cool. But so play a little thing, Patrick, and we can go and talk about how to ship some stuff.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast.
Now, I don't know about you, but I love to torment friends and family with gifting. In that, to our teenager last year, I put his gifts under layers. So I gave him one giant box, and then there was a gift, and then wrapping paper, and then a gift. It was like a gift lasagna, if you will. And of course, the big thing was at the very, very bottom. So he had to work his way down.
You put a gift on each layer. You're nicer than me. I just put another layer.
Well, I mean, it was like, you know, a layer and then a t-shirt, you know, and then a layer. And then I had gotten him, he likes Pokemon. So I'd gotten him a Pokeball, which is a mug that he could drink out of. But I wrapped a t-shirt around it. So he had to go through each layer with something a little bit more elaborate. Like for his birthday, the laptop was on the bottom that we got him. And, last year, there's a joke in the family that each year, like socks and underwear, we were upgrading his iPod. And last year, I'd put the iPod box in, but I'd put in his Pokemon game inside the iPod box. So he had put the iPod aside like, haha, another iPod. And I was like, oh. And then like 5 minutes later, did you look inside the box? No, why would I look inside the, oh, because he was like disappointed because he didn't get Pokemon Sun. And so I love doing things like that. And it makes Christmas more Christmassy to build up that philosophy, to put a box within a box within a box. Or I've known people who've done the Braille thing in which they put different notes in Braille and had it like a scavenger hunt. I've actually heard someone do that with their engagement ring. Fun. And so, you know, your trip around the house begins now. Go look in the refrigerator on top of the butter. And people can go around and do that kind of thing that makes things easier. I know people who've done it where they've even made it more elaborate, like check your email. And they've sent the email for the next instruction. They had to check their phone. So you could do things like that. Make them go out to the mailbox where it's cold and find the next note. Yeah, again, I'm a bit sadistic in this. But for me, it's part of the fun in that they get excited and I'm excited. Because they're having fun and it turns it into a great big adventure. So those kinds of things that I like to do around the house and to make things interesting. Do you have any strange gifting or have you ever gotten a gift in a weird package before?
I think I've done the boxes inside of boxes. You're nicer than me because you actually had stuff in the layers, like I said. I definitely like doing small things in just huge boxes. So like
A gift card inside of a giant 70-inch television box.
Exactly. I haven't gone that extreme, but definitely, you know, things closer to that. And that I also have this thing when I do gift cards, and I've also done this for when I donate to AT Guys door prizes. I always like doing like $26 or like $38.
Yes. something you know, that shows that you
$43.
I accidentally hit this number. No, did it on purpose.
No, that's really what I meant to do. Just to be, and then it's like, why did you give a $28 gift card? No, I don't know.
Tax.
Just what I felt like doing that day. I had two restaurant. I don't do a lot of gift cards, but I had two restaurant ones last year, and then two different people, and I said, all right, I have two of these. One of you pick an envelope, A or B, and then the other one gets the other one. And they did that, and then I think they decided to switch after they got them.
No, that's cool. I've done the one inside the one, so it's like date night. So in the first envelope is the place to eat. The second envelope inside the first envelope has the second gift card with movie, you know, like to AMC or something. And the third one has like Ben and Jerry's inside the third one in a smaller envelope. I've done that for couples before. So that way they have like a date night, then go out and do that kind of thing and have all those things kind of taken care of. I love pairing gift cards. So if it's wine, then cheese. If it's, you know, Omaha steaks, then, you know, throw in something that's a little different to go along with that. Say Jones Soda that was mentioned on the show last week. And yeah. So you do something really strange and out of the ordinary. And I like going to a container store. I mean, yes, you can go to Party, whatever you want, you know, like Party Central or any of the more commercially type stuff. But believe it or not, I find some amazing stuff at the container store. And we happen to have a huge one here in Charlotte. And I will find plastic bins that I wouldn't have found. I found Ricky spice racks at the container store, and they were metal spice racks that she could line up and then braille her spices. So she had braille labels for her spices that she could easily just run her hands across two vertical stretches. So you just, you know, go right across or horizontal, depending on how you want to put it. So you could do it horizontal or vertical, depending on how they're made. And you just run your fingers over them, and you could even alphabetize them. So you could find, you know, C for cinnamon and be able to do that kind of thing. And those are real simple, easy things you can do that you can find sometimes in the weirdest places. And again, I will stress this hugely. If you have a store that has pickup at the front of it, like Best Buy, strongly choose that option because you don't have to go into the store. The last time I went into the Best Buy here that's near our house, it was overmerched. There was stuff in the aisles. There was danger. Like, all the Best Buy employees were on watch, like, oh, don't let the blind people go over there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They'll knock down the pyramid of toasters, you know. So I just make it easier on myself. I don't care about them, but I make it easier on them, on myself, by having all that up there in the front. And in a lot of cases, there are gift wrapping options now in stores. So you could actually just walk in, pick it up, and rock and roll.
Yeah. So gift wrapping is one of those things, you know, and a lot of the challenges like that come up. I have friends around the country, and sometimes we send stuff to each other. And then, of course, the idea gets, okay, what's the easiest ways to ship things? I guess for me, it starts with Amazon. Man, my Amazon address book, I have Prime, which, you know, if you buy stuff online more than a few times a year, you should have Amazon Prime of some sort. And if you're a student, you can get it for free for a while. If you're, they have a monthly option. There's a lot of different ways to get Prime cheaper than, I think you can even get some, what, T-Mobile phones, is it now? Or I forget which, T-Mobile,
true.
Or Metro PCS, I forget which one. I apologize, but one of those, you can get Prime for free now for that. Or you can, you do actually have to be with your family now. It used to be a little looser, but you can get Amazon Prime. And that's, well, was two-day shipping. A lot of areas now, one-day shipping or same-day shipping.
Yeah, I saw that article that went out, like 1,000 cities were added to one-day shipping.
Several, yeah. So not every item is on the one-day thing, but you can get lots of stuff. They say over 1 million items are there. And Amazon will gift wrap for like, what, $4 or $5. And they also have a checkbox that says, make this a gift, and then they will hide the price from the receipt. So that's certainly one way to do it.
You can actually customize it. In a lot of places, you can write in a note or something. 1-800-FLOWERS. You can actually do that, and that site works okay. It changes from day to day. I can't really say that 1-800-FLOWERS is consistently working with screen readers, but for the most part, it does okay, and that I've done notes and stuff through 1-800-FLOWERS, and there's always deals like through ESPN and the like if you listen on radio.
I
found that they work okay for that kind of thing, and personalizing and sending flowers, because they're usually done through local florists, although I did buy Ricky roses once, and they were shipped from some other city, and it was really crazy because it had like a vase and flowers in it. It was a big 1-800-FLOWERS box. It was huge. But when you think of that, go buy a craft store, because like the container store, you might find a decorative tin that can fit your gift. And if you don't feel comfortable with tape or wrapping or paper, or you hate using saran wrap, a decorative tin is used by sighted people in white elephants all the time, and it makes life easier. I've actually just stuck a bow on a giant plastic container and threw the gift in and shipped it through UPS. UPS store is also a good thing. Going to the UPS store is nice if you have one available, because handing it off and getting that receipt in your hand and you have a physical number or sent to your email, you know that it's going to go out that day, not it came by my house, where is it now? No. A lot of those tracking sites work really well with VoiceOver and Android as well. Like, I use mine through Google Search. I don't know if you use the Google Assistant with that, but there's a tab called Upcoming, and it will actually track your packages because it skims your email and grabs the UPS number. And then you can just click on a button and it'll give you the web page in which it tells you where your package is. And you can see, oh, look, it just left Athens, Georgia. It's on a truck. Oh, it just got scanned in Virginia. Why did it go there? That's interesting. So,
oh, they say that you were the receiver wasn't home and they're lying.
No, the one that I was thrilled about was getting on board a cruiser, and then I got an email that popped in and said, you know, that package that was supposed to get there Tuesday, it arrived today, and no one's home to get it because no one's at your house yet because the house sitter isn't supposed to be there till Sunday. Yeah, no, that one was fun. I was thrilled.
Well, so here, let me mention. So now that you mentioned that UPS, since I've had a lot of experience, we used to ship 99% of our products from AT Guys. We now do a warehouse just because it makes it easier for us. But in the days that we shipped most of our own products, we picked up a lot of tools for how to do that. And the UPS store, if you're doing a one-time thing and you don't want to mess around with the printing your own labels and stuff, yes, go for it. Absolutely. It's not a bad thing at all. You do pay more. And sometimes, especially if you have them box it, if you bring them something and you don't have it taped up and you don't have it ready to go, they are going to charge you a lot, sometimes double or triple what you might have paid by just boxing it up yourself. So let me give you a couple tips on how you can pull this off if you want to do it yourself. First of all, you're going to put it in a box. You're going to tape it up. You know, use some nice packaging tape if you have it. Or you could even use like duct tape if you don't have packaging tape. It would work in a pinch as long as it holds it together. It needs to be sturdy enough. Then you need to weigh it. You could use a kitchen scale if you wanted to for smaller things. If it's a larger thing, you can do the deal where you weigh yourself and then weigh yourself holding the box. And then, you know, as long as you're within a pound or two. Yeah, as long as you're within a pound or two and you can always just add an extra pound, you're generally fine on that. Then go to we'll take either USPS or UPS websites, and they have things on their website where you can print shipping labels. You can create an account if you're into this a lot, but you don't have to create an account. And then you can go through, you put in the address and everything. It will take you through all the steps. You tell it what service you want to do, and then you can print the label. And what that generally is going to come out as is a half a sheet of paper. If you do this all the time, you can buy peel off half sheet labels and you can stick them on. But that's okay. If you don't have that, you print out the half sheet label and then just tape that to the box. So now you have your label.
Seeing AI will help you a lot to know which side is which and whether the text is.
Yeah, or, you know, depending if you know how your printer comes out, you can at least verify. You do want to verify that it printed. If you have a nice laser printer, you can sometimes feel the raised stuff, which is cool. If you have a barcode scanner, you can actually scan the barcode. But by doing the online, you'll get the tracking number right then, which is good. So you can send it, you know, if you want to send it to your recipient or not, you can do that. And then if it's regular post office, you can leave it out with your next day's mail. You can put in a thing called a carrier pickup and tell them you're going to have a package for them. If it's UPS, you can take it. You still can go to the UPS store or to a Dropbox, but it's already paid for. So you can just say, hey, I have this package. Here you go. And it's there. So, you know, like a little more time. But if you want to save a few bucks, or if you're going to be shipping several things, there are different ways to do this as far as shipping. Of course, I've shipped thousands of packages, so I have a little bit of a leg up on this. But it's possible. It's quite possible to do if you want to ship stuff yourself and have it all. If you're going to be doing it regularly,
a little packaging around it, little stuff. So if it's breakable, it's got things in there. That'd so it's good. Not just something rolling around in a box. You know, if you got. You know, newspapers or shredded stuff or even a towel you don't want anymore. Throw it around it and throw it in. I've done that once or twice where, you know, it was a nice towel. It wasn't shabby. If you are considering, well, I'm just going to take it on the plane with me. So you want to check the TSA rules and see whether you can transport that, especially if you're going to carry it on the plane with you, which I advise not doing because many, many, many carriers are shrinking the size of their overhead compartments. And I saw this happen on both planes flying to and from Houston, that people who don't fly as often didn't realize that it's a thinner overhead space now, and they will check those baggages. And sometimes it had been just a better idea for that person to have shipped at UPS to the place they were going rather than carry it on the plane. Sure, as there's the immediacy of it, but you know, there are some things like we were listening to TSA tell us stories about how somebody tried to drag a full bottle of baby oil through the TSA line. You know, that's confiscated and tossed. There are limits to what you can bring as far as fluid and some chemicals. And, you know, even things like, you know, coffee or something, you know, be prepared for that to be opened and searched if necessary.
Yep. Of course, you could check bags.
You can do check bags, but let me come to that in a second.
Unless you're on site, yeah.
Right. If you fly more often, you should do TSA pre-check. You should look into that.
Yes. I'm going to write an article on that at some point because it is worth it.
It makes life so much easier for you, especially with those of us, because Braille displays get caught. Almost every time I've gone through before I joined PreCheck, you got kind of caught and it was like, oh, good gravy. And having to explain it to people who've never seen one before. They know what a CPAC machine is, but they've never seen a Braille display before. So that'll make life a lot easier on yourself, especially if you're going to bring that with you to be able to read while people are talking during the holidays. That also doesn't happen. Ha ha ha. So TSA pre-check is what I recommend, but look at what you can and cannot carry on board the plane and what you can and cannot scan. So maybe some of that stuff does need to be in a check bag. But here we come back to what you said a second ago, which is know how much it weighs, because $25 for one bag, depending on your airline, is one thing. But if it's overweight, they're going to charge you more.
Oh, that's a big fee. Usually it's 50 pounds. If you're on some of the ultra cheap carriers like Spirit, then it might even be less than that. So yes, if you go, and we're talking $7,500 fees for things like that. Yes, of course, if you fly Southwest, you get two bags for free. Very nice, but it's still only up to 50 pounds. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, you can spend a little bit of time figuring out what's the cheaper way to do it. Do I want to ship this? Is it, you know, if you're going all the way across the country,
buy another seat and just sit it next to me?
Right.
There's,
you know,
that.
Or do I want to just, you know, if it's back to Amazon or something, hey, maybe I should just send the gift to wherever you're going pre-wrapped, and then it'll just be there. And then they're going to pay for the shipping. So it all depends on where you're getting your gift from and what you're trying to do. You know, there's a lot of different
really
ways
huge. That you can say you're buying somebody a 70-inch television. I'm just being funny here, but if you're going to buy something really huge,
but what are you going to do that for me?
Absolutely. I knew you needed two of them. The ability to buy at a local Best Buy or a local store and do the same thing I mentioned before, or arrange shipping through that store, can be very helpful as well, because in a lot of cases, it may be easier to just order locally and then have it delivered to your family or wherever, if you're trying to surprise them. So that can also be a big thing. There are also other ways that you can do things like Postmates and other things that can go deliver stuff and bring it to you.
Yep.
Note that some of this stuff, especially Uber, you're going to run into holiday pricing. You'll run into surge pricing. And I actually had an issue with Lyft where I knew that it was surge pricing because I know the prices from here to the airport, but it didn't bring up a box to tell me that I was at 75% of pricing. And I actually had to talk to Lyft about that in order to say, hey, I was cool with this, but, you know, it didn't really tell me with voiceover. So that was kind of unfortunate. But know that if you're going to travel and you're going to use Uber or Lyft, and if you've never used Uber or Lyft before and you plan on using it from the airport in a new city, do yourself a favor. Travel out to a local area on Uber or Lyft. Let that first ride be in an area you know, so you know the app before you take it and use it.
Yes. And of course, if you're going to use Uber, hey, code Uber Bargains will get your first ride free. Ha, I beat you to that.
Nice. See how I did that? That was nice. Nice roll.
Or Jason 4232 on Lyft.
I need to do a Lyft code now. That's what I need to do.
Nope.
So there's definitely that. And note that if you're flying into an airport, that you have specific places that you have to be picked up at. And the app actually will tell you that in a lot of cases. It'll say, hey, welcome to Charlotte. You need to go to D in order to get picked up. You have to go to area D down in departure.
The app tells you and the website, so you can look this up before you even go. So you can actually just say, type in Uber Charlotte Airport, and that will come up on the web, and you'll see the page for it, and that will explain the options that will be available.
And this happened to me again. It hadn't happened in a while, but it happened both going and coming back from Houston. They wanted to put us in wheelchairs, and we politely told them, no, we're fine walking. You know, we prefer to do that rather than ride in a wheelchair. But be nice about it, because these people are working during the holidays. It's their job. And in a lot of cases, it can be very hectic and not great for them. So getting on about being super independent is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But do it in moderation and be kind to those that are assisting you if you're relying upon assistance. to do that kind of thing. And man, if you're relying on ERA, know that if you're going to fly internationally, that might be a problem because, that could get really costly unless you have an international plan. And even then, video could be a problem. So download all the information you would want. Like if you're going to listen to a bunch of Bard books or if you're going to watch The Punisher from Netflix, download it ahead of time so you're not eating up your data plan. Have it already on your device if you can do so. Because once when you go into airplane mode, Wi-Fi can be very expensive on some planes depending on the carrier. And did you know, I didn't do this, and I've seen other people who've taken a trip do this, you pay like $125 for the entire week to have internet access to Carnival, which of course, no, that's the whole point of me taking a cruise is that I'm offline. But I've seen some friends do this because they wanted to, you know, post pictures on social media and the like. But there is internet plans available depending on where you're going. Or if you're on something like Comcast or Spectrum, there are a lot of free Wi-Fi points that some people can use. Now, there's some security issues. Some people feel very strongly about this, or they use VPNs. VPNs.
All right. Yeah,
the United Paramount Network.
Right.
How did that work? Watch Star Trek Voyager now. And so you could use VPNs in order to help, like Tunnel Bear or those kinds of things that'll make life a lot easier. But they're just some things you should think about before you step out, especially if you don't travel very often and you don't feel comfortable traveling. There is also inside Uber and Lyft the ability to let others know that you have arrived safely to your destination. So for those of you who feel very security-minded, you may want to do that to let friends and family know that you made it to the airport automatically or that they can track you and that everything's okay. Because for some people, they feel very strongly about being able to let their
family members. Not even a security thing. I do that.
Well, I know some people who actually talk on the phone the entire time in a city they've never been to on Uber. That's, just so they feel safer if they get a bad vibe.
Absolutely. I mean, there's lots of things like that. I mean, if I'm coming to a friend's house, I'll say, hey, I'll send them the little thing that, hey, I'm going to be here at 8:27. That way they kind of know if they need to come down and meet me at the door or whatever, you know.
And if there's special delivery things, like if you have a code that the driver needs or it has to be dropped off at the office, you live in an apartment building, you do have form fields in a lot of places for delivery that let you put those details in. So that way the Postmates or whoever that's bringing the package or dropping off the package know. And the same thing if you're shipping it somewhere and you know that your friend lives in apartment, you know, 7D, but it needs to go to the office. You've got a better chance of going into customer service and saying, hey, my package didn't arrive, if you gave a whole bunch of detail. So that way it was on the driver or the company for not following those instructions.
We could go on and on and on for this. See, we have so many travel tips and shipping tips and Christmas tips. And we're going to move on. But I'm sure you might have some as well to share. And of course, you can do that at feedback@blindbargains.com. But definitely several topics have kind of just melded into one and ended up kind of going all over the place.
That's
but
I think
lots, I liked of, it. Lots of good, lots of good holiday cheer and tips and things like that.
Cheer. That sounds like a show title. I like that. That's good. That
for some reason, nice. You put the tip after sound off. I don't know why you did that.
No,
I wasn't sure.
No. It doesn't. It's just me coming back from vacation.
I mean, is that what we're supposed to do?
No. We could totally It phases me not. We could totally do tip right here. Whatever that tip might be. Let's do a sounder and then some tip will happen. Remember a couple of months ago when iOS 11 came out and was all bright and shiny and new and everybody was like, this is great, except I'm not a big fan of what they did to Apple Mail. A lot of people wrote into us and said, what can I do? There's nothing I can do about this, right? I mean, what other Apple Mail clients are out there that would work fairly decently? And that's not an easy thing to recommend because everybody's style is different and what they're looking for in a client is always going to be unique. Say, you know, if they're using Office 365 or Exchange. Now, a little bit later than we needed it, Google has updated the Gmail application in order to take care of some of those issues, mainly to pull people over from Apple into Google land. Not that there's a lot of people on our side of the community that would do that, but for those of us who do actually have a foot in both operating systems, this is good news. Now, what you do is you take the Gmail app for iOS, you go over to the Manage Accounts area, if you have it already installed. If not, when you're installing it for the first time, you'll be asked to do this. And you head over to Add an Account, and you add an account from iCloud, Hotmail. Live is there still. Remember Microsoft Live Services? Remember? Anyway, so you have Hotmail and Office 365 and the ability to add IMAP as well. Now, this is great because now you can have your iCloud mail in your Gmail and stay in the same application if you were having some issues with iOS 11 or you wanted it to, well, just be a backup like Google Photos is for Apple Photos. This is another alternative that you can use. I do say that sometimes Gmail from iOS can be a little persnickety, but not as persnickety as it is when you're using Inbox for iOS. So just another thing for you to consider that you can use iCloud Mail now in Gmail. I got a link in the show notes as per the usual.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Thank you so much, everyone, for writing us. We really do appreciate it. Following up on some of the letters that we received, including Juan's last week talking about Rich Cavallaro, there was a tribute show that came out a few days ago. Hey, Joe, you were on this?
Yeah. Nick, one of Rich's longtime friends, does a show over at the Beyond. I want to make sure I say this correctly, and I'm going to end up screwing it up. Nick, I apologize. Beyond Radio Network TBRN. Over there. Yeah, TBRN. Thank you. I always get that confused with a couple others that have been out there, so that's why I always forget. Yes, the United Paramount Network, in which I'm going to watch Homies from Space or any of the other fine Paramount Network shows that lasted maybe 6 episodes beyond Star Trek Voyager. The United Paramount Network is one thing, TBRN is another, and I was asked to come on board and talk about Nick and my thoughts, and it was really nice. We have a link to the archive, and it was great to talk to Nick and others about this particular program and how I remembered Rich, and there's some other people who've done so, and it is definitely worth a listen. We have a link here in the show notes. I'm still feeling the impacts of Rich being gone. I keep waiting. I post a somewhat slanted Apple piece, and I keep waiting for the tweet to come back, like Rich being very positive about, no, you're just being a curmudgeon, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just so, so weird. Him and Toonhead both, it is still sort of there. It just blows my mind that we lost so many people in the community this year. So definitely take a listen to that. I highly encourage it. It is definitely uplifting because there are a lot of people just commiserating about how awesome Rich was, and we still miss him. Definitely. Looks like you got a couple of tweets here.
Hey, tweets, eh? This is a question sent over to Blind Bargains, an AT guy's question, but we'll answer it here from Ali Musa. 191 is a Matthias keyboard, which is the full-size Bluetooth one. How does it compare to the new Apple Magic keyboard with a numeric keypad? Well, of course, that was one of the big advantages of the Matthias, say that it had the numpad and the old Apple Bluetooth one did not. So now you can get the Apple Magic keyboard with the numpad. A couple of things. One, the Apple one's $129, and the Matthias is $99.
I've talked about the Apple Magic keyboard, and it only pairs to the Mac or an iOS thing.
Right. There you go. That's the second thing. It pairs to that, where the Matthias compared to your Mac, your iPhone, your Windows, and your Android.
Apple's Apple TV up to, totally paired to the Apple TV.
Yes, and your Apple TV. I guess not all five of those things, because you can only pair to four. So you have to choose your favorite four devices.
Totally do that.
And then the battery life. Now, the Matthias claims up to a year. I don't, you know, I think they stretch that a bit. So, but, you know, even if it's a few months or whatever, the battery life, I have not done a side-by-side on them. They both have very long battery lives. Apple's claiming a month or more.
Starting next year, he'll start it in January and then time it.
I will hire someone just to sit there for 8 hours a day and type on both these keyboards. So that's two people. Okay.
I hear there are 1,000 monkeys that can eventually write Shakespeare if you do that.
But there you go. Those are some of the differences. The layout as far as the keys, I have not seen the Apple one. I would say it's pretty similar, right? Because the Apple one has the kind of the standard Apple layout with the numpad on the right. Is that correct? The Magic keyboard?
Yeah, the new one has the numpad on the right on the new Apple.
Right, that's keyboard. The one he's comparing it to. So yeah, the layout's going to be similar to the Matthias, because Matthias made no bones about copying the Apple one. But hey, $30 cheaper would be one to jump out.
I will say that I had a little bit of fun getting used to the spacing on command and option and shift to do inside outside on voiceover menus and the like. So I've used it more since that review. And it's taking me a little bit of mental gymnastics to get used to it. It's not hard. It's not horrible. It was just something I noticed through extended use.
Any new
use.
Keyboard, you have a little bit of mental gymnastics.
And now we're back to the caps lock discussion, down arrow, insert key kind of thing, because voiceover is voiceover. And of course, you can do that. You can slave it to the caps lock. But I tried to do things at defaults. It just took me a little bit more to get used to that layout, because on the default Apple keyboard, the little chiclet style, they're so close to each other, I don't think about that key combination nearly as much. But you have to be a little spacier when working on those, when you're doing more complex things like to simulate a mouse click, a right mouse click on Apple, which requires more keys than it should. But another conversation for another time. You can find out about that kind of stuff and more. Especially when it comes to Apple, I've got kind of a follow-up article here that's listed in the show notes in this section about Apple cracking down on templated games. It kind of refers back to some of the other sound offs that we've had about blindfold games and what happened, and that it's not just happening to blindfold games. Apple is actually cracking down on apps in general that are very similar to this. In fact, reading this article was very interesting because sounds kind of familiar to things that I've heard Marty talk about. So,
by the way, episode 112, which was one of our kind of, it was a review slash tip show. That's where the Apple Magic Keyboard review lives. That's in 112. Yes. So
that was my birthday present.
There you go. Well, there you go. So that's 112. And of course, Matthias is at atguys.com. And there's the Diana is saying that she's laughing out loud, hilarious to the show last week. We had a lot of fun with that. Kind of seeing what we could break.
I was thrilled to be a listener. It's not very often I get to be a listener of this show, so it was neat, especially when they're two good friends like Shelley and Jay, and it's always fun to listen to that. And again, I was super happy that there was a bunch of Apple news right when Shelley was here, because she's way more qualified to talk about Apple than yours truly. So I was thrilled that she was on board for that particular conversation. Man, oh man, I've gone through it twice, but updating an Apple Watch, I think I'm going to order a pizza and see when it finishes first, like the pizza gets here or the Apple Watch update. Yeah, that takes forever. Gone through it a couple of times now with the updates, and it just crazy, but I was
okay.
happy to have it. Jay's commenting in the background here because he reviews Last Word, as we're about to do Last Word. And I thought it was really good to have some, you know, holiday music. And let's just listen.
Christmas is coming, every child is hoping. Dear old Santa will come calling. Promise from Mama, promise from Papa, that come Christmas there'll be many gifts from Santa. Ho, 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 ho. How will Santa get here? There is no reindeer in my country. He'll have to borrow me neighbor donkey.
Actually heard this on the ship. This is an actual song, and Ricky and I couldn't stop singing it. In the middle of the night, one would quote it to the other, just out of nowhere. Oh, 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 oh.
This was on your cruise?
This was on the cruise.
How'd you know what it was if you didn't have internet to Shazam it?
So they have music piped through the ship. You'll hear different types of music depending if you're, you know, in
So how do you like have to track down someone to figure out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was different Christmas songs. One of the things I didn't think about when we booked this cruise back in February of 2017 was that it was going to happen at the beginning of December, where families come on board to celebrate Christmas, which, again, I never even thought about. And so there were Christmas decorations in the hallway, and there was the lighting of the tree, and Santa was there to listen to Christmas wishes. Anyway, if you're not a holiday-based person, this was a bad time to be booking a cruise. But the cool thing, if you're into that sort of thing, and I was in the right spirit for it, is that there was Christmas music, and not your traditional Christmas music. I mean, sure, the Judy Garland, the Johnny Mathis, Burl Ives, all your classics, but this played in the background, and Ricky and I seized on it because it was not your typical Christmas song.
You still never explained to me how you actually figured out what that was. Like, you had to like do some reconnaissance
Made a note in my iPhone to come back and look it up on YouTube. And I actually had to find like the fourth clip because the three others I found were mono and not so good. But I found
amazed
this one.
You were able to find it.
We sang it enough to each other that I wasn't going to forget. Of course, we added our own lyrics and stuff, which was fun. But I have this love for background music sometimes, and this one kind of sort of jumped out at us, and I love this one. But that is not my last word. I just thought that was a little bonus thing from last week since I was on a particular cruise. You may have heard of the Cantenna. The Cantenna is a very famous hack in which people got a Pringles can and made it into a Wi-Fi antenna and be able to actually pick up data and use it as an antenna for Wi-Fi routers. What would you think if Ambutech came out with a Cantenna? Think about this. You could actually hook up an inanimate 3D printed object and have it become an antenna for your Wi-Fi devices. This article here talks about how some things can be used for the first time being 3D printed to be actual Wi-Fi antennas.
Of course, we're talking a lot. I'm looking at this. This is the University of Washington. A button that automatically orders more cornflakes.
Oh.
Imagine if your laundry detergent realizes that the bottle realizes it's almost empty and then it automatically orders more. So you just have these self-replicating laundry detergent that just keeps showing up. There's nothing you could do about it because you can't figure out how to stop it.
But it takes the dash button to a whole new level, right? Because it would, how does the bottle of milk, gallon of milk, know that it's empty to tell the connected refrigerator that
it
you
has
need
to be a weight
milk
thing or a sensor?
In some cases, you know, it is. I have seen that where there are little weight pads inside like Samsung, $3,000 Samsung refrigerators.
It could be that. It could be sensors. There's lots of different ways to do it, but this stuff is getting smarter all the time.
That a, well, I guess it's more T-1000 Terminator stuff, but that inanimate objects could connect to the internet without what we would consider a wire or copper-based antenna. But I like idea of a cane.
Yeah, I like the antenna. But what would the cane do? Well, why is...
You've been at a hotel where you needed just a little bit more oomph or more bars? There's your antenna.
Because of the... Oh, okay, yeah. I get you. I thought the cane was going to like... I thought you were giving Wi-Fi to the cane.
No.
You want the cane to be...
It's just 3D printed in such a way that you stick it outside
and
the ship.
If you're at a convention, all the canes will create a mesh network and you can just have really good Wi-Fi all over the convention.
you thought you could share Wi-Fi passwords in iOS 11. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to share my hotspot with you. All the canes become sentient and start controlling themselves.
Refinement.
And then they coordinate with guide dog harnesses. Oh, man. I see a
book. I'm going to just move on to the...
Okay, fine.
Do you know where is Bushland, Texas?
Texas? I have no idea. Is that somewhere near Anheuser-Busch land?
Or George Bush. No, not where he was born.
No. That's up by Waco. No. Unless it's Senior Bush, then it's Houston.
This happened. You know where News Channel 10 is? Maybe that helps you.
No.
Okay. But some folks, this actually happened a couple months ago, but we didn't report on it, so we're not going to. But it seems there was a bit of a crash. Actually, it was a fire. A truck carrying a load of onions caught fire on I-40.
Okay.
And, but that's already bad enough. Everyone's crying about it, of course.
Absolutely.
But you know what road this happened on?
Huh.
Frying Pan Road.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. How do you not break up when calling that in? Oh, my gosh. And if somebody caught that on their Ring doorbell... right outside.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Happen,
onion ring, frying pan. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got you. Onion ring. Okay. Okay.
Got it.
We're running
They're
long,
not a
folks.
Sponsor. Yeah, totally.
Well, we're
hey,
running
back
over.
From vacation. That was fun. It was totally cool. Remember, if you have any stories about cruising, doesn't have to be Carnival. It could be anything. Let me know. You can write me over at joe@blindbargains.com or feedback@blindbargains.com. Or better yet, you can enjoy the love of the tweet feed. It's back, baby. JJ already knows it's true. You can follow me over at twitter.com/blindbargains, in which he will turn it off because there's a certain Christmas special coming up.
Actually, that's twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. I guess he's still on vacation after all.
May have a Dalek in it. May.
A what?
Cyberman.
It's a Dalek.
There you go.
What's a Cyberman?
What's a... You wound me so.
You're right. There is a great Christmas movie coming up, and it's called Christmas Story.
Planes,
and it'll
Trains,
be on
and
TBS. It's a Christmas Story on TBS Christmas Day, and I think TNT too, so you can watch it every year.
Do you know the BBC America channel has The Shawshank Redemption? When did TNT lose the rights to Shawshank? Because that used to be like every other day you would turn it on, The Shawshank Redemption was on TNT. I think even the first time I saw that movie, the TNT logo was in the bottom right corner.
Oh man! Wow. That did not. But I also haven't watched BBC.
Right there, said TNT.
I also did not watch BBC America for anything really.
Obvious reasons. You know. Yeah. I kind of got that. There's Star Trek repeats there too, so it's. It's not all about
still good. You can tweet us. You can tweet the show feedback at blindbargains.com. That's not tweeting the show. That's emailing the show. You can tweet the show at Blind Bargains, though, and you can do that as well. And like I said, email feedback at blindbargains.com. And hey, if you enjoy this show, or maybe it's the first time listening, head on over to iTunes on your iPhone or the podcast app or podcast addict on Android, whatever. Tune in and hit the subscribe button, the like button, so you make sure you get all of our new episodes as they come down. It definitely makes it easier for you to get stuff. If I start mentioning every single one every week, then you know this is when we end up going into like a 3-hour show. So
that's true. It has happened.
all the ways to get the podcasts, including on your Sonos.
And rate and review other podcasts, not just us. If you like shows like ours, or you like shows like Main Menu or the like, make sure that you rate and subscribe those particular shows that you like in order for other people to discover them. So people who like Blind Bargains might necessarily be into other things like the Mac Accessibility Roundtable that Shelly happens to do, and it helps all of us raise the tide for all boats. See what I did there? Boats, cruise, eh?
Oh, nice.
That's, blind segue, baby! I may be feeling the carnival crud, but I can still do a segue. Ha-ha!
Well, there you go. That's what you're here for.
That's my purpose on this show, is to do segues. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's been good.
Not
see you next week for 128.
128. This is one. We've got one more this year, and then some end of year stuff and more. So
all sorts of other stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly. Stop. So it's gonna do it, folks. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.
I bring you greetings from all Daleks.
I'm gonna spend my Christmas with the Daleks. Action!